Hello, I'm Adam, and welcome to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear tales and stories from the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. I'm really pleased to say that this is the whopping fifth season of the podcast, with new guests and brand new stories and conversations with some people that you will definitely know and some people that you'll come to know through these episodes. I'm also thrilled to say that this podcast is proudly sponsored by the wonderful people at Plant Grow, producers of award-winning organic compost, mulch and fertiliser made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And I know because it's all I use on my garden. Also, don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your whole order. Before we get into this week's conversation, then I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's really easy to do, only takes a couple of minutes of your time, but it helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded planty people. In this week's episode, I'm joined by someone with a truly unique garden that borders the edge of a steep cliff that also has a popular public footpath running alongside it. Lizzie Schofield, who you might also know online as Cuthbert's Bray Garden, is the owner, and she joined me this week to talk about the creation of the garden, the distinctive setting, and how the garden went on to win Gardeners World's Garden of the Year. Enjoy. So, for anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
So my name is Lizzie Schofield, and probably one of the main reasons people might know me in the gardening world is my husband and I won Gardeners World competition back in 2020, and we were the judge's choice and also the reader's choice for that competition, and we won two amazing holidays, which was fantastic. And then also quite recently I've become a presenter and do little bits and pieces for the Beech Grove Garden, a TV program that is on BBC Two and also BBC Scotland.
Nice. So let's go back to the start with all of this. So you say that lots of people will know you from the Gardeners World competition, which was Garden of the Year. But before that was even a thing, obviously you'd set up a gorgeous garden, as you've said, in the northeast coast of Scotland. It's kind of like a how would you describe, I love your garden, but I'm trying to think of the best way. How do you describe it? It's like a steep coastal path,
or... Yes, it's definitely, so we live in a little fisherman's cottage, and there it's all gable onto the sea, and we didn't own any of the land around the house at all, and we had a family, so we wanted to buy a little bit of land to create a garden. And there is a tiny little bit of flat land by our house, but the majority of it is a very, very steep slope. I would say at some points it's too hard to walk up. You upright, you'd need to scramble up it on your hands and feet. So that sort of gives you an idea of how steep it is. And from that, we've created lots of terracing, lots of interesting pathways, and we've created a garden from probably something that you wouldn't necessarily call a piece of land that you would imagine a garden could be created from, I suppose. And I suppose that is one of the inspirational things, and what people really enjoy about the garden is that it is on a difficult site. It is so close to the sea, and I think people really appreciate the hard work that my husband and I have put in to create something beautiful and something for everybody to enjoy, because in the most part we can't enjoy the garden from our house. We don't have a view of the garden at all. It's really a garden that you have to enjoy when you go out and explore and go into, but also there is a public footpath that runs right the way alongside the garden.
Oh, wow.
And so lots of people access that path now and come by and look at the garden, and you get an amazing view of it because it is on the hillside, and it's like an easel of like a painting. You get the best view from the path.
God, those people that are using that footpath, so lucky, aren't
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We get loads of lovely comments from
they? I
people
bet.
who walk past, and it's lovely chatting about gardening to random people who, like, some people come and seek out the garden and say, "Oh, we've seen you on Beech Grove, or we saw you on in the Garden as Well magazine, and we knew that there was a pathway, so we've come to have a look." And then there's other people that sort of stumble across it and are just into are totally amazed. So
Yeah,
it's lovely.
it's funny because you're talking about the steep coastal path and all the kind of the extremities of it. If you were to ask every gardener what's their perfect scenario for a garden, it'd be this flat space, this whatever, and it would almost be the opposite of what you've got to start with, wouldn't it, from scratch? So when you, how long have you been there, and what was the first kind of thing that you did to the garden? Did you have a blank canvas, or were you was there some maturity there already, or?
There was nothing. It was wasteland, really. And I mean, it was awful. It was just an eyesore. I mean, the part, most of the bank was covered in brambles, and it was really, really thick. The depth of it was like 5 foot deep, and we had to, I mean, it was so thick. This is how thick it was. So one morning, one early one Sunday morning, my husband and I found a rather drunk lady who had fallen off the bank and was being held aloft by the brambles and had fallen asleep in them. They were that thick, like she hadn't fallen
Oh,
through them. She was actually lying on top of them. We had to rescue
my
her. So that
gosh.
was the first hurdle that we had to overcome was, yeah, the brambles. And
Oh, my Lord.
it was hideous. So
So
that was.
so how long have you been there, did you say?
Oh, we've been in the house for 16 years, but we've only had the garden for eight years. So the
Right,
whole
okay.
process of putting the fence around it, because even my husband did an amazing job trying to put a fence and concrete posts into a slope. I mean, you have to do everything by hand. So carrying the concrete, carrying all the posts,
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah, because there's just no access for any machinery as such, is there? No.
No, there isn't. You couldn't even strim the brambles back, because it would have been too dangerous, because like I said before, it was so steep. You can't stand upright on it.
Yeah.
So we literally cut all the brambles back by hand one Easter time. It was April, so before they had started to green up, we went out and chopped them all back.
Oh my Lord. Why have you done this to yourself? I mean,
I
I know
know, I
why,
don't
because
know.
you've got such a gorgeous garden at the end of it. So we've talked about the scenario of it. What is your garden like though, for anyone that hasn't seen it? What's the planting like? What have you gone for in terms of style, I suppose?
I suppose the majority of it is very informal planting. It feels very cottage style planting, with lots of perennials, lots of different flowering shrubs that come up during the springtime and flower all the way through to the autumn. And in amongst that, we've got lots of little wooden pathways, lots of little steps, willow tunnels. We've created a pergola as well on one of the steepest parts of the bank, which then leads up to a very, very steep set of vegetable beds, which have been terraced. So yeah, that's always fun, going and collecting produce from that.
I bet. Good Lord. So you're managing to cram in a lot of different things. I really advise anyone that hasn't seen the garden to go and have a look at Instagram, because it's really, I'm aware that we're describing something. It's almost indescribable, and you really need to be able to see, just to be able to appreciate the actual extremities of what you've got. Something that I've always thought that I've not noticed, that whether you've mentioned, I don't think you mentioned earlier, is because it's on that steep, and because you're on the east, you get all of the wind from the sea.
Yes.
So does that, what kind of problems does that pose?
Well, we're lucky we have planted The way that the bank is, it sort of does curve round. So part of the garden is less exposed, I would say. And because of the way that we have planted and the other things like walls and stuff from neighbors' gardens, they are a little bit more sheltered, I would say. But I think that lots of the plants aren't that bothered by the salty sea air, probably because we get so much rain. That I think it just all washes off, and that's something that lots of people come and say, like during the garden open days, that they're always so that they're really surprised at all the different types of plants that we can grow and that we have managed to grow. And I suppose that it was out of sheer, I would say, at the very, very beginning, ignorance, really. We didn't know what we were doing. So we did things cheaply. We put loads of plug plants in, bought off the internet, hoping, I suppose, that they would grow. And the one bit of knowledge that we had taken from gardening programs was we knew we had sandy soil. That was a given. That was easy to work out, seeing that we were so close to the sea. So we improved the soil with lots of manure and lots of compost and stuff, and stuck all these plants in. And because we were on such a sunny site, they loved it. And yeah, lots of plants grew really well. And I suppose the ones that didn't, we'd forgotten about, and we just planted more of the same ones the next year. Like at the very beginning, it was very much trial and error. And I mean, I can always remember my husband and I, we were up at a supermarket, like Googling what is a perennial. Like that's how little knowledge we actually had. And we were like, well, we can't plant those ones because, you know, they die each year and they don't come back, and so there's no point in planting them. And then we find out that, you know, they were actually annuals, so they weren't ever going to come
No.
back.
They were dying for a reason.
They were dying for a reason, exactly.
So you came from, I didn't really know this. You kind of came from such a, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but such like an inexperienced gardening, well, background, or
Oh,
like, had you had a
definitely.
garden before that?
Definitely. No, we didn't have, because this was our first house. We moved up here from Edinburgh out of uni. We'd got jobs, and apart from like little planters that we had, maybe a couple of pots or that we did plant annuals in for color, just like at the front door and stuff, we had no gardening experience
A
at all.
baptism of fire, this.
It really was. It really was.
But what you've got to show for it is all the more sweet, though, isn't it? I suppose when you've had to go through that.
I think definitely we have worked so hard, and yeah, we have definitely been rewarded for all our hard work.
God, yeah, and some. So the Garden of the Year thing, then. Am I right in thinking? Tell me if I've made this up. Am I right in thinking that Malcolm didn't want to enter?
Yeah, he totally didn't. I totally pushed him because it was in COVID, and I said, let's enter. And he was like, don't be ridiculous. Like, the garden is nowhere near ready. So immature, like we couldn't possibly enter. I was like, well, be okay. They can only say no. Yeah, it was so funny. Like we almost was another little story. We almost didn't actually get through because Adam, who works for Garden as well, he was trying to phone Malcolm the number that we had put down, because I'm not very good at answering my phone. So I put down Malcolm's number. Poor Adam had been trying to phone Malcolm for like weeks and weeks and
Oh
weeks,
my
and Malcolm
gosh.
had thought it was a cold call because it was like a London number or something, had just like hung up on him. And so I got this email from Adam saying, would you still like to be part of the competition? We've been trying to get in contact with you for
Oh
weeks.
my
And I'm like,
gosh.
sorry.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's, I bet they thought that you just were not
No, just a peek.
interested.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
No,
So what was
exactly.
the actual process of entering? Did you have to kind of write a thing about the garden and include photos and things?
Included lots of photos, before and after shot, and then we had to write about the process that we had been through to create the garden, whether we'd had any help, what we got out of the garden. And so we Yeah, we spoke about lots of different things like the path, like it being quite a public place for people to enjoy. And yeah, and I think that they were blown away by the location and also the slope, I would
Yeah,
say, definitely.
certainly unique. That's the best way to describe it, isn't it? So you said earlier you won the main prize, but you also won the People's Choice as well. I suppose that was like a double whammy of you've won the kind of the main thing, but then this the readers and the people that everyone else has also chosen, like that must have been so overwhelming.
It was, especially when you looked at all the gardens that had entered the competition. I mean, they were beautiful. They were absolutely stunning. And even when we had seen them, we were like, oh, there's no way that we're going to win. Because I think they did like a pre thing of before where they introduced the finalists before it was announced. So you got to see some of the other competitors and they were beautiful. But,
Yeah, I bet.
yeah, it was definitely the cherry on top of the cake when we got the People's Choice as well. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy. I don't think that's ever happened before. And so I think Gardener's World were taken back a little bit as well.
Really?
I
Well, yeah,
think
no,
so.
I bet. So what's changed for you since? Like this must have changed your life, hopefully for the better. What has changed since?
Oh, definitely. I think it's given us the confidence to, open up our garden, to see the merit in it. And we open up our garden each year with Scotland's garden schemes now and make a lovely bit of money for charity. And it's great to invite people into the garden so that they can enjoy it as well. And I suppose the other thing probably has been Beech Grove as well. Which has been absolutely awesome. After winning the competition, I thought, oh well, maybe the Beech Grove garden team might be interested in seeing it because I know it was located in Aberdeenshire. So again, just randomly, I sent off another email and a little video saying, would you be interested in showing our garden on the program? And they said yes. And so they sent a team round and yeah, it was lovely. It was great. It was so much fun filming for them.
I love Beech Grove, and I think it's one of the. But I think it's one of those things because you said earlier it was on BBC Two, and it's obviously on iPlayer and stuff as well. I think when it is on BBC Two, it's on at such a random time. Well, it is in England. I don't know if it's on at the same time as in Scotland. It's on at such a random time that I think it's easily missed if you live in England, and I think a lot of
Well,
people don't even know it exists.
I think, well, the viewing times have changed and
Oh,
now
okay.
it is on a Friday evening. I think it's at 7:30, so it's just before garden as well. They have changed it.
Okay, right,
So
okay.
we do get bumped if there is any sport on.
Yeah, like a
So
Wimbledon or something.
yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
So,
yeah.
but it's been quite it's quite good because then it's both of the gardening programs together, which
Together.
is can sit down for an hour and a half and
I know.
get your
Doesn't get
fix
better than
of
that, does
gardening for the week. I know exactly.
it?
It's
It doesn't.
brilliant.
I love Beech Grove, and I think it's something that talked to someone about on here before. I can't remember who now, but yeah, because I know it has changed, but before that, I think it's not unknown, but I don't think a tremendous amount of people in England perhaps know about it. But it's so much more. I love Gardener's World. Gardener's World is fantastic, but there's something about Beech Grove where it's very much a it's more of a
Very
kind of a
practical.
Yeah, and it's like a real example. Not that Monty's garden isn't real, but it's an everyday gardener's perspective more than it is a kind of a professional gardener or a gardener with a huge, 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 acres and acres and acres. I think it's more you can take a lot more away from it, perhaps.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something for everybody on Beech Grove, whether you've got like a very, very small garden, you've got a patio garden, like on a balcony or anything like that. I think, yeah, there's something for everybody in Beech Grove. So,
Yeah,
yeah, that's what's nice about it.
I think so. And have you? I was thinking about something the other day. I've been to quite a lot of the shows that we've got. I say down here, south of the border,
We've got so we're really, really
I know
lucky.
You're so lucky.
I know. I definitely know we're lucky. Is there anything like that in Scotland? Because I remember seeing something not that long ago, but I can't remember what it was called, but did it go away after COVID?
Yes, it did. There was something in Edinburgh, but there has recently, in the past 2 years, Scoon Garden Fair have had their own little, you know, show gardens. And this year, Malcolm and I were lucky enough, our design was chosen and we got to create a little show garden, which was really exciting and another challenge for us, which was, yeah, it was brilliant. It was so much fun meeting all the other competitors, and there were 10 little show gardens in total, and yeah, they were really well received by everybody who'd come to the garden fair. I mean, we chatted to everybody all day. It was fantastic. It was great.
What was your garden like? How big was it? What was the kind of thing?
It was really quite small. It was 2.4 meters by 2.4, and so our theme, it was called Through the Looking Glass. So we had we found it in an architectural salvage and got it welded together, but this steel frame, it was sort of like a moon arch, and the whole premise was there was a sunny side and then a shade side to give people ideas of like the different types of plants that you could grow.
Really so, good yeah, idea.
It was lovely.
I bet. Has it made you want to do something more?
Well, do you know what? It was so stressful, like the logistics of planning it, making sure like plants were in flower and the plants that you had said on your original design would actually be in there. And it was very stressful. And Malcolm, bless him, had to complete the whole garden by himself because I wasn't actually able to get time off work. And so he was phoning me going, there are people with teams of 6 people and putting in their garden and I'm here myself trying to do it. And he was like, we're never doing this again, never doing this again. But by the time we had gotten the van, packed up everything, were driving home, he was like, well, you know, if we were chosen next year, maybe we could put something on the design like this. And I'm like, I thought you said we were going to do it.
It's bitten so by the bug.
It's definitely addictive. And it was so much fun. It was really great.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what's next? What can we expect coming out of your garden, out of your gardening brain?
My gardening brain. Well, in our own garden, there are still parts of the garden that we still need to tackle. Pretty much the steepest part. There's a section that still hasn't been planted. We tried to put eucalyptus on it last year and they just haven't thrived. So we've dug those up and potted them. So they'll need to go somewhere else. So it's back to the drawing board as to what we can do there. I think we're going to have to create some sort of terracing because it's just too dry. And so, yeah, so that we can improve the soil so that something will actually grow. Hopefully I'll still be doing bits and pieces for Beech Grove Garden. But apart from that, yeah, it will just be enjoying the garden, really. We work so hard to get it ready for our open day. It's quite nice to then, once that's passed, you know, just to enjoy the garden and pop out in it.
Look at the garden and spend some time in it. If anyone that hasn't found your garden before, hasn't found you on Instagram, where can we find you?
It's Cuthbert Spray Garden. So the actual slope, I didn't make that up or anything. The slope is called Cuthbert Spray. And apparently it was because there was a shoemaker's about 100 years ago down at the bottom of the slope called, and his last name was Cuthbert, last name. So it was named Cuthbert Spray.
It's the Bray of Cuthbert.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'll put the link to your Instagram in the show notes for anyone that wants to follow you. Okay. Well, we've got to that time where I've got 3 of the single most difficult questions that you've ever been asked in your entire life. Are you ready?
I'm quite nervous, Adam.
Very, very difficult. Okay, question number 1. If you were to start your garden again from scratch, where would you start or what would you change?
Oh, that's a toughie. I definitely would do more research, I would say. And because one of the things that we made, the big mistakes that we made in the beginning, was planting far too early and not getting the structure right and putting in terracing and probably doing all the hard landscaping. I was just so passionate and so excited about getting things to grow that they didn't really thrive. And I suppose that was a bit of a setback and a disappointment. So I would definitely say we would take the time to do the landscaping first and get the structure in first.
But no regrets, but that's what you'd change.
I don't think that I would change like anything in regards to the planting or anything like that. I love the cottagey style, you know, the intermingling, some almost magical place that we've created with the planting.
Definitely. I don't think you should change anything either. I agree. The second question: what is your favourite scent in the garden?
Do you know what it would have to be? We sit in that pergola on a summer's evening, like in September time, when it comes into blossom, fully into blossom, and that would be honeysuckle in the evening. It's so intoxicating, and you just get these wafts of it while you're sitting there, and it's just, oh, it's totally amazing, the scent of that. It's wonderful.
It's one of those scents that just kind of is perfect for like a pergola where you like a kind of balmy summer evening where it just fills the air constantly. But then every now and again, there might be like a slight breeze and you just get a waft of it. We've got a pergola and we've got there are four uprights. Two of them are empty, but the other two at the back where we've got a bench. There's one that's got a clotted cream jasmine and one has got a honeysuckle. And it's perfect because once the jasmine's gone, the honeysuckle's just about kind of coming into it. It's just whatever time you're there between, I don't know, June and the end of the year, there's just this wafting of the two. Sometimes because of the whatever summer we've had, they're both kind of there at the same time. And it's such a weird, amazing mixture of, but honeysuckle, it can't be beaten, can it really?
I don't think so. I mean, a rose comes, like a really old rose comes second for me. I do love honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle, lovely. Okay. And the final question, why does gardening bring you so much joy?
I suppose because you nurture something, and gardening does change you. It changes you, the way that you look at things. I mean, the perfect example of this is when I started, I was in some ways quite snobby about plants. I was like, oh, I hated fuchsias. I was like, there's no way I'm ever having a fuchsia in my garden. That's just not going to happen. And what do I have? Fuchsias. And I'm just like, oh, they're so amazing and beautiful, and they're just so incredible. And I suppose, and that wouldn't have happened unless I had created a garden and started growing things, I don't think. And I think you see the beauty in everything from gardening. I think you see the beauty in nature, and it opens your eyes to nature, I think, and it's amazing.
If you'd like to see Lizzie and Malcolm's garden for yourself online, then do check them out on Instagram at cuthbertsbray_garden, which is cuthbertsbray_garden. I'd highly recommend following along with their amazing journey. Join me again next week, where I'll be in conversation with another fantastic planty guest. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at viewfromthepottingbench to see what I'm up to in my garden, or visit viewfromthepottingbench.com to read my blog, find out about my events and talks, and much more. And don't forget, if you've got a spare couple of minutes, leave a rating and a review on your podcast platform of choice. See you again next week.